GAA on Off the Ball.
Hello and welcome back to the Hurling Show. We're live on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, anywhere you like. You can go with hashtag the Hurling Show. Send us in any questions, any issues you have whatsoever. My name is Shane Stapleton. Joining me this week, as always, is Michael Verney from the Irish Independent and, of course, former Offaly hurler. How are you doing?
Good, Shane. Yeah, good.
We've got a packed show this week. We're going to be looking at Waterford, their first road bump of the year after losing to Dublin. We're going to look at Limerick and basically that loss to Cork, but I don't think it's the biggest deal in the world. We'll look at Dublin, we'll look at Tip. Is there an inferiority complex there with Kilkenny over the course of the years? It looks a little bit like there is. But one place I'd love to start is a tweet from Dublin inside forward Eamon Trollier Dillon. He is full value on social media. I'm not sure everyone would agree with all of his tweets, but he has a hot take on things. Don't think there is anything worse than someone just after finishing a smoke and sitting beside you on the Lewis, hashtag smokes for breakfast. He's a good lad.
It's great to have characters like that that just say what they think. Jack McCaffrey's another one in the football. Like, yeah. Just say what they think. Like,
I think Trollier, he's from, what's the name of the club again out in Cabra? Naofion Barra, of course. I think he's a sparky. He seems to be good crack based on his social media. Looking at the Dublin Hurlers this year, Desi Farrell is after joining them.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like it's interesting. It's Conor McKeown, a journalist for the Evening Herald, was telling me that he spoke with Matty Kenny afterwards, and it seems to be a sort of a player development thing. For, you know, off-field, get these guys ready to step into the inter-county. Desi Farrell would have been involved underage with a lot of the guys who are now senior footballers for Dublin, the likes of Jack McCaffrey, John Small, I think plenty, Eric Lowndes, players like this, and you can see them, that they look every inch inter-county athletes. And I suppose it's just trying to get that culture over on the hurling side as well. So it could be a good move. I mean, obviously he was an under-21 hurler, I think, with Dublin as well, more renowned with the footballers these days, but that could be a good move for
Dublin. I think it makes a lot of sense. Obviously Desi's was chairman of was CEO of the GPA since 1999 for about the guts of 20 years, like, which one of the GPA's, I suppose, main remits is all to do with player development, and he probably would have had even a lot of those Dublin players through the system in various things and personal development and things like that. But he's big into that, and I think his business is all to do with that as well. It's, I suppose, it's just making sure that, as they always say, like, if players are happy off the field, their performances usually kind of reflect that on it. So I'm sure they're just ticking boxes in the background just to make sure lads are happy both on and off the pitch.
Probably a Bernard Dunn type role
Yeah, and it just kind of shows, like, all counties are going into this type of thing now. Like, it's important.
Kieran Donaghy with the Galway Hurlers as
well. Yeah, well, that's a big one now today. I think he's been doing two sessions with them. It's kind of a high-performance kind of a role. It's an interesting one, yeah. Like, it'd be interesting to see would he even, from a coaching point of view, would there be any sort of basketball things maybe that, just small little bits and pieces maybe that they could implement. But it'd just be interesting to see. He's a big personality as well.
Yeah.
And Desi would be, like, a very well-got kind of fella as well, like that. So, like, people tend to maybe open up to them a bit more, and if they've something to get off their chest, maybe. I know that was one of Bernard Dunn's kind of main roles as well, and there was not only kind of positive feedback about his role as well, so it'll be interesting to see. But it just shows, like, different people and different roles being brought into kind of inter-county setups nowadays.
It was interesting you mentioned the basketball influence with Kieran Donaghy, and that's had such a role in Gaelic football the last number of years, Dublin footballers among many to sort of look down that route. And if you think of how Limerick throw around the ball at the back, they're real precise passing. It's all about taking care of the ball in basketball. Is that something now where Galway are looking at using the ball a little bit more? Because the past year or so, they are gone route one an awful lot.
Yeah, it has been far more direct. And while we'd always say, like, Galway can play it any way they like, and if they need to and they're under pressure, they can go route one, I do think they probably need to look a little different as well. They have all the ball players to play a similar style to Limerick. I don't expect it to be maybe as short and as exaggerated and with as much hand passing, but maybe more kind of Tip, kind of 2016 style, popping around 20-30 yard stick passes. But it'd be interesting to see, whether you can see any sort of stamp from Donaghy under play. Probably not too much. I'd say it's more to do with hitting certain targets and reaching certain levels on and off the pitch.
Yeah, and interesting, it looks like Joseph Cooney won't be back this year, so that's a crucial player who's been very good in the back line when he was needed last year, and also been excellent in the forward line over a number of years. We'll move on to Waterford, though, because I specifically went to Dublin against Waterford at Parnell Park at the weekend, because Waterford had played Laois, Carlow and Offaly, and, you know, with all due respect, probably not three teams that are going to be letting us see what this team is made of, what this Daisha team is made of. Pádraig Fanning's his first season, probably first real test as well. They lost, what was the final score?
26, it was
126 to 415. The two Bennett brothers looked absolutely excellent up front. Shane Bennett's direct run, and we know all about his pace, but for once he wasn't completely outnumbered. Now, we know how Watford have played for the last 5 years, which is a lot of withdrawn players. Derek McGrath would take exception to the idea of a straight-out sweeper, but a lot of withdrawn players, and Shane Bennett seemed to be outnumbered 2 or 3 to 1 at times as well, so that was very difficult for him. But he looked to excel the other day, showed a lot of pace, carrying the ball straight at the Dublin defence. They struggled with it at times, could have conceded more goals. Stephen Bennett looked excellent. Tommy Ryan with a lot of pace inside as well.
Serious pace, yeah.
So that shows you what this Watford team are looking to do this year.
So are we seeing, like, you were at the game, are we seeing any sign of a sweeper? Are we seeing, was Austin Gleeson sitting back to the 21/30 yard area? Like, what was the scenario there? Were they still trying to sit deep, like, and keep things tight at the back?
Yeah, well, like, it's more like maybe what Galway or Limerick or Clare might be doing, which is sitting the half forward line back deeper. Therefore, the midfield can drop a little bit more, so the half-back line can drop a little bit more. But at times, Dublin were able to expose it because they were trying to work the ball up the field. Now, as I said, Dublin were really porous at the back because both teams were trying to draw out that half-back line and create space inside. For Watford, they were missing a lot of front-line players. You know, Park Mahoney wasn't there. He was on the bench. So was Philip Mahoney, Tig de Burca, Brick Walsh. So they were trying out plenty of guys. The half-forward line of DJ Four and Stephen Roach and Jack Prendergast, you know, you could just call a spade, they got cleaned out by Chris Crummy, Sean Moran and Shane Barrett. The two wing-backs got 3 points between them in the
Again, those boys got 4 points each against Offaly last year. It just seems to be a thing now.
That's the thing, yeah. And like, we have a couple of images here showing the way that the Watford attack line set up. And you can see there, huge amount of space to operate in. So it's Watford with two men inside, and I've highlighted there, magnified in red, that Tommy Ryan was inside. And when Dublin are missing a couple of backs, we said this before, they're possibly the best six backs in Dublin, but when they're missing a back, they're in trouble. They put Dara O'Connell in the full back line to mark Tommy Ryan, who we know is just made of pace. Now, Dara has played in the full back line before for Coola under Matty Kenny. He did it against the Pearshig in the replay last year in the club final when needs must, when Paul Shuda got injured. He did it in the county championship last year. But you can see that when Dublin are down one of their backs, does Matty have the depth just now? And he put Dara's pace back there. And Dara got a second yellow, or two yellow cards at the end, which is very, very harsh. Give away a penalty.
That was not a penalty.
Very, very
harsh. That was not a penalty. He was fouled himself.
Yeah, but you can see Dara was a little bit uncomfortable back there. And they definitely missed him from the middle area because Dara is an excellent player.
But you'd definitely be uncomfortable when you're used to having Sean Moran sitting back. And obviously they were trying to pull him out.
Like Sean is in green there out towards the 65.
That's rarely where he is now.
Yeah, and Paddy Smith is just beneath him, just underneath the tip of the arrow there as well. And the two wing backs are either side. So Watford have worked that quite well. And you can see this is what Park Fanning is going to try and develop all year. He's going to be trying to get guys in space and get pace isolated. I think we have a second image coming up here as well, which was in the other half. And Sean Moran, look at the amount of space that Sean, he's in between the two lines there, the two arrows. He's trying to cover that amount of space. But Watford are playing three men inside. Obviously there's a sweeper in front, but otherwise it's 1v1 inside. So perhaps there's a suggestion that Watford are going to look to keep a few more players up top this year.
Yeah, well, like, that was kind of, that's been the big criticism is, you know, Morris going in there and he's running around and trying to mark two fellas and it's very, very difficult.
And well, he's not as pacey as Shane Bennett.
No,
either.
He's not.
It's tougher
no.
for him.
It's very, very much so. And, like, if they have three inside, it's just if they can tighten things up. That's why I think, I know I debated against it last week or the week before, but I know Austin Gleeson, it can be loose at centre-back, but if he gets a good few games under his belt and gets very fit, you'd imagine he would cover a lot of ground there. They might actually pack the half back line this year. Mm. They might play no sweeper and they might have Tig de Burca one wing and Philip Matany the other wing, and that's a very strong, maybe even Kevin Moran wing back or midfield. So they're going to pack that little diamond there from 5 to 9 and with the strongest players they have maybe, and then they won't need possibly to play a sweeper.
Yeah. As well, I think Watford are trying to find a new full-back this year because Barry Coughlin has...
Conor Prunty, away. How did he go? Because he was very good against Clare. I saw him in the Watford Crystal. He was very
yeah,
good.
Yeah, like Liam Rush, we know what an impactful player he can be, and he was brilliant in the Leinster Championship last year. He doesn't look to be as sharp as he could be just at the moment. Wasn't involved massively. He did score 1-1, but he wasn't involved throughout the 70 minutes as often as we're used to. So Conor Prunty did okay, probably won't be delighted with being conceding 1-1. Noel Connors does his usual trick in the corner. He was fairly good. Shane McNulty okay, steady enough. Callum Lyons had a tough day wing back. Kevin Moran scored 2 points, inspirational from wing back when they were trying to come back into it. Austin Gleeson at centre back, I'm not sure if he's at the, you know, if he's hopping off the sod just yet.
I don't think he is. I saw him in the Waterford Crystal, or the Co-op Munster Stores, as it's called now. Yeah. I saw him maybe 6 weeks ago, and he looked a good bit off the pace now. So I'd say come first round of championship is when he'll be really hopping off the ground.
Yeah. Waterford against Galway this weekend. How would you see that going?
Yeah, it's very interesting. Again, like Waterford, as we said, or Galway, as we said, have tried out an awful lot of new players. Mm. They're going to have to probably get used to being without Joseph Cooney, and they're going to have to find new options. Waterford do need to bounce back, not necessarily to get a win, but they do need to get, like, deliver another positive result after being edged at the weekend. That would have been seen as a 50-50 game. So it's going to be interesting, especially down in their own patch as well. I'd imagine, like, while Pádraig Fanning is only starting in the job, a win against a big team would be a big boost for them as well. I know there's no promotion from 1B, but it's still going into a quarter final having lost to the two other teams that you're trying to beat wouldn't be a great thing either.
He should know Galway pretty well, having been involved with Davy Fitz and Wexford as well, and they would have prepared to play Galway in the Leinster Championship, so he should know them fairly well.
Yeah, no, he should have a fair idea what the story is with them, having been involved. Obviously they're beaten in the Leinster final 2 years ago as well. It'll just be interesting to see. Like, Galway are still trying out a few new bodies. They were impressive in the first half against Offaly last week, but Offaly kind of came back and rallied reasonably well in the second half, but an awful lot of new faces, which I suppose Micheál Donoghue realises he needs to get new faces in. Be interesting to see, like, say with Joe Canning as well. Joe has played a lot of league already. I think he's played nearly every minute of the league so far. I know he's been
playing against Offaly.
Yeah, he started against Offaly. Yeah. Okay. So he's been carrying kind of a knee injury for the last couple of seasons. So it'd be interesting to see. Martin Brettany was saying to me a couple of weeks ago that he's kind of, or Cyril Farrell was kind of saying as well, that he's demanding to play. He wants to play. He wants to get fit. But I just wonder, does that need a bit of managing at this stage of the year as well? It's a long year. It's 6 months away from where they want to be. Like,
yeah, I even did a piece with him last year, and he was talking in terms of I was saying, what would you like to get out of the next 5 years of your career, because turning 30 and that type of thing, and he was talking, well, maybe it might be more short term than that, so maybe he wants to do as much hurling as he can while he can. Hard to know, I mean, because
there's a lot to be said for when you're fit, hurling when you're fit.
Yeah.
Because if you pick up a knock, just say he were to pick up a knock and was out for a month, at least he has a lot of hurling under his belt.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're coming with a run and you don't have that much done and you pick up a knock, you're really chasing your tail.
You know where you're at.
Yeah. I know more than anyone. I'm sure you do too, from knocks down through the years.
You do, and then get a little gut when you're off for a little while as well. Another player who's playing centre forward at the moment, Danny Sutcliffe. Is Danny Sutcliffe now getting back to 2013 levels? Because back then he was an all-star, looked like a sort of player who could dominate for years to come.
Well, now, I didn't see much of the game the other day. You were there, obviously. But I thought, as bad as they were against Galway, he was on a mountain of ball around the middle, an awful lot of ball. And obviously, he converted that into scores the other day. I presume he was hovering 65 out and trying to bring Austin Gleeson out of the comfort zone, which he probably didn't. Austin Gleeson probably didn't leave the 45-yard line.
No, this is the thing. See, Austin is, to some degree, he's one of these, he's a player who wants to go out and hurl his own game.
Yeah.
Like, when sometimes you hear this term, when a guy's in the back line and he's not so focused on his own man, he's trying to do too much hurling. You hear that sort of a term, it's kind of...
I've had that thrown at me a couple of times now.
Yeah, yeah.
It's when your man gets a score and you puck a ball, and it's like, just mark your man.
Yeah, and that's not really Austin's game, and I'm sure he's told to sweep and protect as well. So Danny Sutcliffe is obviously going to take advantage of that. He's played centre forward for many years for both St Jude's and Dublin at different times as well. He scored 4 points from play. He won a lot of crucial frees. He carried ball at the heart of Waterford's defence time after time. Now, Waterford's midfield for long stretches didn't really get involved in the game, and you could actually say the same about Dublin's midfield as well. Both midfields strangely quiet, and it's not as if the ball was bypassing him the whole time.
Yeah, Jamie Barron was actually turned over for a goal, which is very unusual as well.
And he had a good second half, but Ream McBride, Dara Gray, who was midfield for Dublin, Mark O'Brien for Waterford as well, not really that involved in it. But you'd have to say with Sutcliffe, he looks like he's getting back to his 2013 self. He was so good, in fact, that he's been named our Goat of the Week. We'll have a little look at the image up here. Come on, lads, don't let me down and put that image up there now.
The only issue with the Goat of the Week is poor old Tom Condon got it last week and had it pour out.
Look at that. There he
is. I don't know where he pulled that goat out.
There he is, goating around the place.
Tom Condon had a hard week last week, so I hope it's not the sort of case where we start jinxing people.
Yeah, it's not like the manager of the month in the Premier League football. Yeah,
or commentator's curse, like, or something. You don't want that, like.
Yeah, Tom Condon was brilliant against Limerick, and then Patrick Horgan snapped one ball over him for a goal, and an errant hand pass led to Conor Lehan's goal as well. Dublin going against Laois this weekend.
Yeah, Laois are still in a shout if they get a result. Like, oh, they missed the boat a bit against Carlo. Marty Kavanagh played but was only half fit, and they were kind of, they were levelish most of the time, but they were up a point or two coming down the home stretch, and a relatively soft free, and geez, it was a fair old free that was put over. It was from their own 65, Carlo, I think it was English, it was the second name, I can't remember his first name, and it just, that's a big result for Carlo. Like, Carlo play awfully at home now on Sunday, and if they win, they're through to a quarter final. Laois will give, I'm sure, give everything to have against Dublin, but you'd be amazed if they got a result.
Mm. We mentioned Tom Condon there. Cork 221, Limerick 121. Pretty excellent game. I mean, Limerick were 110 to 4 points down. They seem the sort of team that isn't going to throw in the towel. And the fact that they brought it back so close, Cork led for the whole game, but Gerard Hegarty had a chance to put them ahead. So they're not the sort of team that's just going to fold up the tent.
No, like, you talk about like a defeat, this is literally the perfect defeat. Mm. It's actually the perfect defeat for Limerick. They were down, it's very like Clare and Wexford the week previous.
Yeah.
Wexford were defeated, but you almost come away feeling like after winning the game. Limerick could have been more than 10 down at one stage, and then had chances, and Gerard Hegarty probably hit the ball a bit soon. He could have carried another couple of yards, and it was a tame enough shot after. But it just shows, like, they as you said, they're not going to throw in the towel at any stage. They're just going to stay going and going and going. And, like, even in adversity, we'd say Tom Condon had a poor game. Cork played well, actually, in fairness, too, because it was a different kind of a style from Cork. It was a bit more direct at times, particularly with direct ball into the full forward line, and not direct ball coming out to the sides, which we'll talk about later, as in direct ball coming right in near the edge of the square, the edge of the 13. But as defeats go, they don't get much better for Limerick. Kiley be delighted. The unbeaten record is gone, but they're still in great shape, and I believe they went to visit the president this week as well. So they'll be in great form.
They did, yeah. Would you believe this? Limerick are the only team in Division 1A with a positive scoring differential.
Jeez, that's bizarre, isn't it?
Yeah.
But see, Kilkenny, I suppose, the big 9-point defeat, Limerick haven't been beaten by anybody, like the 3-point defeat and then a 9-point win, and yeah. But that's what they can do. Like, they're not going to concede too much, but they're going to have a good chance of putting up big scores as well.
We'll talk about Cork in just a second, but Clare against Limerick this weekend. John Conlon is out for the rest of the league. So that, I mean, the one team that hammered Limerick last year in the championship was Clare. So I'd say they'd like to do a number on him this weekend in Cusick Park.
They would, yeah. I'd be a bit worried. Like, Conlon is the sort of player, he's had different injuries down through the years, and it's grand having a lad back when he's back for a championship, but he's not back. Do you know what I mean? Conlon is the sort of player that plays his best when he's playing the whole way through. And he's going to be interrupted now this year, and like, he's such a big player for them. So they're saying 4 weeks. Realistically, that's probably 6 to 8 weeks by the time you're returned to play and ready to go
ankle,
on the pitch.
It's not like...
So then we're talking, that's first week in May, like. Do you know what I mean? That's in around championship time. And if you're off your game in the first two games, you're under pressure. So like, and he's such an important player for them, and showed that last year. So it'd be interesting to see like what options they will develop around that.
Well, the entire game plan hinges on him.
Well, that's kind of it. Yeah, I know they've tried to develop Colin Guilfoyle this year. I kind of saw him in the Fitzgibbon on Saturday and was a bit disappointed, to be honest, which I thought I expected a bit more. But that's only his first year in, yeah. So he's going to be raw enough. So as much as you have a great squad and whatever, he is such a focal point.
Well, he's
for
like
him.
The shark, and then there's pilot fish around him that can get the breaks off him. Let's move on to Cork then. Do you think they can take the next step this year? And obviously, a league win over Limerick isn't going to exactly make their year. But if you look at them last year, All Ireland semi final defeat to Limerick. So effectively, that was in extra time. So that was a draw. They drew with Limerick earlier in the year in Munster as well. They lost the under 21 final to Tipperary as well, having hammered them in the Munster final as well. Do you think they can kick on?
It's only a matter of time before they do anything with the conveyor belt that they have coming. But I was down at the Fitzgibbon on Saturday, and Dara Fitzgibbon played, Shane Kingston played, and Mark Coleman played, and there were three of the quieter players on the field, actually.
They had Robbie O'Flynn, Michael O'Halloran, Owen Murphy, David Griffin, David Lowney. These are all the panellists.
So that just shows you what Cork were missing on Sunday. So a load of new fellas got their chance. Aidan Walsh is getting, we'd say, consecutive games maybe as a result of this as well, and was brilliant when he came out in the half-hour line the other day. We talked about Tim O'Matney before. While he is raw, there's serious potential at centre-back as well.
Try to do too much hurling.
I loved that overhand. He went for a one-hand overhand pull at one stage, came down like that in the first half, and I know it didn't work out that well, but it just showed that's kind of a skill that's kind of gone. It's almost like people don't do it anymore, but it's not, you know, it's not like against the rules or anything. But yeah, they've developed Walsh. I don't see Walsh at 14. I see Walsh at 10, 11, 12, and I think he's the type of Mulliker type of player that they need out there. I've just seen a bit more directness from him. I'd love to see Patrick Horgan catching a ball over his man's head. Yeah. It's not something I've seen before, really.
Forewarned is forearmed as well. Now,
true so enough,
we'll,
yeah.
We'll see who goes on him now. Yeah. Christy O'Connor had a piece in The Echo talking about the impact of the Fitzgibbon, and he was looking at Limerick last year. Tom Morrissey, Sean Finn, Grod Hegarty, Barry Murphy, Mike Casey, Pat Ryan, they all won it. And of course they had players with Napiershik as well, getting lots of competitive game time in the club championship as well. And we've just mentioned that you were down to Fitz final as well. All those Cork players as well. Flip side in having all these games, Aaron Galan has played 8 games in 5 weeks. So that's going to be tough to keep going if he picks up a knock, and we're going to talk about him a little bit more.
The Galan thing is funny. Galan was dropped off the Limerick panel in maybe late December, early January 2017, and only got called back in based on his Fitzgibbon form at Mary Eye when Mary Eye won the first one under Jamie Wall. And Kylie, I don't know if it's a conscious thing, if Galan is fit, Galan plays, yeah, and plays nearly the whole thing. And I was actually sitting beside you at the league semi-final last year. Remember Galan went over on his ankle after about 50 minutes?
Yeah,
I think he played the whole... Did he play extra time even as well?
He may well have done,
like,
yeah.
It just seems to be a thing. I don't know what it is. If Galan is fit to play, he plays, regardless of how much traffic or anything his body has had. I don't know. That could be something that we don't know about behind the scenes or whatever, but
maybe
it's just
like
an interesting one.
Maybe he needs games. Maybe so.
There's
some breaking news. The Munster Council confirmed that Waterford's home games in the Senior Hurling Championship against Clare and Limerick will take place in Walsh Park.
Capacity set
at 11,000. A revamp will bring that up to 15,500. I'll read out the statement as well. That came from, so it's the CCC of the Munster Council has today confirmed that both Waterford's games will take place at Walsh Park. The officers of the Munster Council and Waterford County Board met to discuss the use of the venue following confirmation by GAA Health and Safety Consultants that the capacity will be set at 11,000. Munster Council Chairman Liam Lenehan said, "I'm pleased to confirm that they will play their two games there." So it's the same thing over
again. A good news GAA story.
Who would have thunk it?
It's unbelievable. It's great for them because they were handicapped last year by having to play basically 4 away games.
Yeah.
So this is a major victory for Pádraic Fanning already, and I think it will help solidify things within the county. And like, I don't think there'll be any fear of there being any much less than 11,000 at those games.
Yeah. All the places are going to be rammed. It'll be like Newbridge again. And if you think last year, Limerick had to travel through Tipperary to get to Limerick to play Tipperary.
Yeah, it's bizarre.
Isn't that nonsense? I know,
it's great for him as well because it is hard coming in and been in that scenario. Like, Munster is a shark tank already without having to give away that advantage. So I think they'll really ramp it all up and the PR all around it as well, and we'll try and get as much positivity around the county as well. And if they were to get a good result this weekend and maybe go into a league quarter final or semi final or something like that, he'll be trying to just keep the momentum going. But that's a massive, massive achievement for them.
I'm sure Derek McGrath would have loved that last year.
Yeah.
And you wonder, why didn't they go the Kildare route and say Walsh Park or nowhere? Just to move on to Tipperary then. Bit of a, like, actually, first of all, we'll get an image up here because not everyone was completely impressed by the match at the weekend. I think there was a photo from John O'Loughlin put up on Twitter over the week. Well, actually, that's a tweet, first of all, from Shane Brophy. "When we worked the ball through the lines today, it led to our best scores. Evidence we weren't as direct in the last 10 minutes. We launched 4 high balls when we didn't need to. Lost them all, lacking composure at the end of the games." So Tip going down 17 points to 18 at home against Kilkenny.
That was something now that was clear to see, because Pádraic Maher and James Barry, they worked the ball through the lines as much as they possibly could. But it's a case of when push comes to shove in a game and you're just really, the pressure comes on a lot of the time, and it happens with managers and coaching sessions, it happens with everyone, you revert to type.
Yeah.
And when they reverted to type, they didn't get any change out of it.
So are you suggesting that Tipperary aren't coming along?
I was not impressed with what I saw the other day. There was a couple of things. Like, number one, whoever thinks Ronan Matter is a cornerback is so far off the mark, it's not even funny. He is not a cornerback. A cornerback is a marker. Ronan Matter is anything but a marker. He's got way too much hurling to be cornerback and didn't look comfortable at cornerback. Second thing is the freeze. We talked a couple of weeks ago. To me, Jason Ford is the best free taker in the Tipperary panel. That's I can't see why he's not on freeze. I think it's a responsibility thing, and by making Callanan captain, that they feel like he has to take the freeze just on forward as well. I can't understand how he's not in the full forward line. I don't know why him
and
Callanan.
He must be trying to make a hard working wing forward out of him.
He's not a hard working wing forward.
A couple of times that he got on the ball was when he was switched into the inside line. I remember towards the end of the game, Callanan was out in the half, or was out centre forward as well.
So Jason Ford is not a half hard working wing forward. He's a brilliant hurler that should be on a load of ball. And he shouldn't be, I don't think he should be distributing to people. I think he's a finisher. I think he should be inside. Like, how can you put a guy to score 212 in the league final last year and was their top scorer, and I think the top scorer in the whole of the league? Why do you turn him into a hard working wing forward?
Well, I suppose they want a threat from out the field as well, so that.
But they have Noel McGrath out the field.
I know that. But if you're setting up your team, you want the other team to know, or to not think that they can just tell their whole half back line. When the other team is bringing the ball up the field, you all rush back and cover the full back line. If you've got Jason Ford in the half back line or a scoring threat like that, you can't leave him, because if he's got 5 yards of space, it's a point. Same if you have Bubbles out there, it's a point. So that's the reason they probably want to have threats dotted at different parts of the field.
I understand where you're coming from. Given his injury record, I would not be pinpointing him for that type of role. Which is hugely demanding on bodies. You look at, like, say any of the half forwards in football as well, you have a shelf life. We'd say you look at, like, Paul Flynn, you're playing at your peak for 4 or 5 seasons, very hard to maintain. I just don't think that suits him. I just think he would be much better served inside. I don't know whether it's a thing where they think that they can't play Callanan and Ford inside together. I'm not sure, but I just don't think they're best served playing him there. I think they're kind of robbing Peter and they're not paying Paul.
Well, I have to say, I think Tipperary actually tried to use the ball very well. I've been hugely critical with how Tip haven't used the ball well for the last number of years. There was one incident that really kind of rammed it home to me, that Tipperary are actually trying to let the ball do the work here and not just hit 50-50 balls with snow on them. 21st minute, there was great work rate around the half forward line, half back line of Tipperary, to force Martin Keown into a shot that dropped short. James Barry caught the ball, I'd say around just the right-hand side of the D. He did a nice little stick pass out wide to Noel McGrath, who fired the ball 80, 90 yards cross-field into the far left corner for Bubbles, who fought off Tommy Walsh for a score.
Oh, that was lovely. He threw him out of the way. Yeah.
But the whole thing is, they were trying to use the ball, trying to give the ball to a player in an advantageous position, trying to hit grass with the ball as well. And I thought to myself, OK, not everything is perfect now. And I agree, Ronan Maher, you miss his hurling out the field. Doing too much hurling, but the right amount of it. But at least they're trying to do the right things. And I'm still not sure if James Barry back there is going to work out just yet. Maybe it will, maybe it won't. But, you know, maybe if his confidence continues to grow, he's having a couple of good performances, maybe it will.
I've been impressed enough with him now, I have to say.
But Tipperary, one win in the last 9 in competitive matches is not particularly good.
You weren't happy, I believe, that your tweet wasn't recognised the other day.
I moved past that, and I can't believe you brought that up. But like, the referee, I felt, cost Tipperary at the end of the Wexford game. There was about 3 frees that I think Tipperary should have had. I suppose we'll have to take the referee's word for it that there was a pick-up. I think it was from Pádraig Maher. I might be wrong for that late Owen Murphy free. Jeez, it's like an extra attacker on the field for Kilkenny having Owen Murphy there, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. He's phenomenal. Like, it's that effect that when he steps up, you just don't think he's missing.
Yeah.
Just on the referee Sundays, I thought, while maybe playing to the rule book, I just thought Johnny Murphy was unbelievably whistle happy. I just thought the whistle was blown. You could see the frustration. Richie Latty lost a rag at one stage. There was a couple other lads just so.
It was the same in the Watford Dublin game. People were going nuts.
That's hard to take as well. Can I just say as well, whoever the TG4 cameramen are, they were on the money at the weekend. Alan Murphy missed a free. Pan to Brian Cody, expletives. Someone missed something nearly straight after. Pan to Brian Cody, expletives. They did the same for Liam Sheedy after Tipperary wide as well. And Cody literally did the same thing. Like, it was quality now. And I'll just say as well, on the TG Carter coverage as well, like, even the interviews after the match and the half-time stuff, it's just great. It's great access, yeah. And the product that they're given is just phenomenal.
Actually, it's nearly as good as Sky catching Maurizio Sarri perfectly with the Kepa incident the other day as well. The one huge downside I'd have for Tipperary here, I am defending them in general because I think that they are trying to do the right things. And as I said last week...
Because also your Tips Goebbels PR man in international media.
I'd like to think, if they'll have me, if Sheedy will have me as his Goebbels, I'm happy to do that role. But there will be a period of pain before they get the system they want. And before they, like even in 2010, did the season start off with Bonner Maher, Grode, Ryan, and Grode, Ryan, and a couple more in the team at that stage?
No, it's a trial and it's a trial and error. In fairness, And what you're saying to me is you've seen enough glimpses that you can't always play that way, and it will break down. But over time, that hopefully that will sustain itself over 75 minutes.
Sure, it's like Limerick in year one under John Kiely. At times they were very, very poor, and I thought they were verging on pathetic going out to Kilkenny, an average Kilkenny team in the qualifiers that year, and obviously Kilkenny are after kicking on. But I think it'll take temporary time. So because I'm seeing them try to use the ball, I'm willing to say, yeah, that's good enough for me because it's a step. The downside, however, is Kilkenny are missing some of their key players. Killian Buckley's not there at the moment. I believe he's had a surgery of some sort.
Yeah, knee surgery, and he's under pressure by all accounts, I believe.
Yeah, I've heard the same as well. They don't have TJ Reid there. They don't have Colin Fennelly there.
Joey Holden,
and a couple more. Wally Walsh, by the way, is standing tall.
Yeah, can I just say about him, it's something I've noticed as well. The shoulder is a funny one in hurling now. Like, you're better off actually not shouldering Wally Walsh.
Try and wrap him up and hang on.
If you shoulder him, he just bounces further away from you and creates the space that he needs. Like, so you're nearly...
Michael Breen tried to burst him and he ended up just kind of propelling him.
Michael Breen is another one, a tip. I'm just not sure what they're doing with him.
I think he was better the other day. Now, I've been coming down hard that I think he should be in full-back, and I still think that he should be trialled there for a full league, and maybe that'll happen eventually. But I think he had a better game the other day than he's had throughout basically the last 18 months.
That probably wouldn't be overly difficult, but if he'd gotten that goal, it would have been interesting.
Can I have a quick word about Mark Keogh? I think we have an image here of him scoring a goal against for UCC against Mary Eye in the Fitzgibbon Cup on Saturday. If Lionel Messi could hurl, that's basically what he'd be producing, because he took his man out on the flank, flicked it over another guy, picked it back up, someone burst him with a tackle, kept going and nailed it in. That's tip hurling for you.
Michael Rice, the ex-Kilkenny player, was down at the game. He'd be ex-UCC, obviously. And he tweeted after the game. He said, when Mark Keogh got the ball, I said, put it over the bar. When he turned inside his man, I said, oh, put it over the bar. When he turned inside his man again, I said, just tip it over the bar. And then he puts it in the back of the net, you know. I didn't realise, for a big guy, he's very nimble on his feet. And he's very good with ball down around his feet as well. He got 1-4 the other day. Mary I just couldn't handle him at all. Him to come back into that team, it's funny, he came on against Limerick and dropped the ball short into the goalie's hands from 30 yards, which is really uncharacteristic of him. But he's another option, and I like the few glimpses I've seen of Robert Byrne as well. He's got potential as well.
He looks like he's not shy.
No,
he
he's definitely not shy.
A bit of cockiness
shy,
about him. He gets stuck into you, and like Tip need a couple of guys coming through like that, because to energise even the older players who've been there for a few years, you need guys coming in, putting you under pressure.
And a bit more pace as well around it. There is never any harm either.
Well, again, you saw the amount of times that Kilkenny were able to take on Tipperary and win frees because they've got that pace, that directness, that forethought that I'm going to turn and go for the soft shoulder where you're holding the hurley, and therefore you can't tackle as effectively. So
Lastly as well, we talked about Billy Ryan before.
Yeah,
I really liked what I saw again the other day. There wasn't like the 1-3 or the 4 points, but he's really good in the air. He makes it so uncomfortable for a defender. And he's that option on the inside line that they haven't had. They can play Wally that wing forward. He can feel the ball. And it makes it, I think, you mightn't see the best of him this year. You'll see a good bit of him over the next couple of years. He just looks like he's kind of that old school kind of, not Martin Comerford style, but he kind of mixes a couple of different styles together, and he's very, very dangerous as well.
Wexford are going to host Kilkenny this weekend. How do you see that going? We're going to talk about Lee Chin in a couple of minutes in our debate, but how do you see that game going?
Yeah, I was chatting to Tom Dempsey for the Independent earlier on in the week, and he just kind of said, he stated the importance of this game and the importance of Wexford making a statement. So when Wexford beat Kilkenny in 2017, that historic match down in Wexford Park, they had beaten them in the league earlier on that year in Nolan Park,
and then this was the one where Davey was behind the screen.
So like, that was a big deal, and they had momentum and they didn't really fear Kilkenny. Whereas last year they beat them in the World Cup final in that shootout. They got beaten twice in the league, once in the group stages, once in the semi-final, and then they got beaten in the championship. So like, it's hard to understate the importance of actually just beating teams throughout a league, particularly like if you just get that habit again. If they've beaten them in the league, they'll be more confident going into the championship. So I do think it is a big game. It's a big game for both, to be honest with you. And Kilkenny, especially after last weekend and getting one up on Tip again, Tip haven't beaten them since the 16 final, I should say, at this stage, between league and championship.
We hammered them though.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. But it's going to be, it's a massive game. And as Tom Dancy was saying to me, he said, I think they'll be putting out their best 15. I don't think there'll be anyone holding back. I don't think you'd see Chin coming in. They'll have their best 15 on the field.
I think Tipperary as well want to win away to Cork this weekend as well, because Tipperary definitely need to start getting a couple of wins for confidence to sort of feel like we're, you know, things are, the sheedy factor is starting, that type of thing. Tommy Walsh joined Joe Malloy on Off the Ball earlier in the week, talking about the team that he has most enjoyed watching so far this year.
I say Tip, Cork, Lair, it has to be Limerick. Really does. It just so beautiful to watch. Like, they're so comfortable either way, and like whether they have to win, like, you know, when they play the Shark game as well. And this is one interesting point when you're looking at playing the Shark game. So they play a short ball to we'll say Tom Morrissey on the half forward line, right? The way tackling and the way the middle third is so, there's so many players in the middle third at the moment, you're going to be hit straight away, 2-3 players. Mm. But they have the strength. They have Hegarty, they have, say, Galan, they have Shane Dowland, and they have Tom Morrissey. When they get the ball, they have the strength to get away, even when they do the short game. Mm. And that's where maybe the teams with the smaller half-forwards and smaller midfielders might struggle. So I'm enjoying Limerick because they're playing the game the way it should be played. Just beautiful goals, points, absolutely everything. Like, look at Shane Dowland. Like, he's not definitely not the fittest at the moment and probably will have to get fitter to make that Limerick team, I would imagine. But the skill levels of them. Mm. Like, when you're going down to the young lads in the field and trying to show them, you know, maybe players that and what they should be trying to be able to do. Like, Shane Dowland is just playing out of his skin at the moment by pure hurling. And, like, left, right, he's up the field, he's down the field. And, you know, I'm really enjoying them. Tom Condon, a few years ago, he looked a bit leggy. Looked like maybe he was on the way out. Mm. And came on in last year's All-Ireland final, won the last ball. And, you know, it could easily mean flicked into the back of the net, came out of it. We saw the video then of everyone jumping around the place. Well, Tom Condon is playing out of his skin. Yeah. And, you know, and that's a lesson to anyone coming, maybe 29, I'm not sure what age Tom Condon is at the moment, 29, maybe 30. Stay going. Graham Mulcahy, the very same. You know, he was looked like his best years were behind him. Nearly got hurler of the year last year, back playing well again this year. So, yeah, really enjoying watching Limerick. And I think they've been great ambassadors, Joe, of the game. We love watching them. Like, in Kilkenny, I stayed back with Nathan to do an interview with him after the game. So most of the supporters were gone. There was about 10 of them doing 100-metre sprints. And again, there was all these Limerick supporters between 8 and, we'll say, 14 or 15, doing them with them. Mm. And you'd often see the trainer coming over, right, lads, just stand over, the steward, stand over there now, and you can talk to the lads when they're finished, and you can get autographs off. No, they let them off, and they didn't interrupt them. And, it was beautiful to watch. And they really are a credit to the game. And, you know, for people that are trying to promote the game, what they say a child does what a child sees, and they have to be definitely brilliant champions, and champions that we as hurling people, even though we're not from Limerick, are proud of.
Yeah, a child does what a child sees. We're a bit childish at times. We give it the full kind of match photo pose there. No, you're not going to do it at
Johnny
all.
Flaherty from back in the day, yeah. He'd always have to hurl out like that.
Yeah. Big ignorant joke you are. Right, we're going to talk about the use of the ball and the difference in particular in the use of the ball. We've spoken about Limerick and Tipperary already, but the difference in the ball that's going into Seamus Callanan versus the likes of Aaron Gillan. So what have you seen in the matches so far this year and even last year?
Just particularly on Callanan, I just think he's picking up the ball too far out from goal. So Callanan is starting his run out here, and we have a ball coming in, and it's coming in here, and while it's grand and he's in possession, as we saw the other day, you have an awful lot to do from there.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And he rarely picks the ball and plants his foot and shoots straight away, so he'd usually take on his man. So it gave Conor Delaney 2 chances to get back in the other day. There's an awful lot of work to be done when you're picking up a ball here. First things first, it's not a great scoring chance.
No, especially if he's doing it on his left side there. And never mind the 21, I think he's often at the 14 collecting the ball there and also running to collect it there. So all of a sudden he's under a lot of pressure, and you're going to have the half-back line coming back this way as well, especially as Kilkenny do. They get that half-back line there quickly as well.
And so as well as that, like, when he picks up the ball here, he has the ball in his hand, so that's one catch.
Yeah.
He solos. By the time he gets to here, he has his second catch, and you're under pressure, and their body's in here. Do you know what I mean? And for an inside forward, he gets blocked down quite a lot.
Yeah.
Doesn't he? And he gets hooked
quite a bit. Dahi Burke last year a couple of times as well would stand out. And as well, like, once he, like, Conor Delaney there is waiting the whole time for him to throw it back on the hurley. Mm. He's not going to put the hurley across, because if you flick the hurley across, and that was actually a recurring issue over the weekend, especially Watford, there was a lot of the slap across the air as well. I had no problem doing it. But yeah, if you're Conor Delaney, you're going to watch him catch the ball, you're going to wait for him to throw it back up then, because he obviously only has four steps, and you're going to flick across, and he did it very, very effectively.
As a defender as well, like you don't really mind him picking up the ball there. You think you're going to get reinforcements. Whereas if he's picking up the ball here, like, there's no one sparing you. Like, you're in trouble there. Yeah. So, like, they've no problem leaving that kind of channel free there, because it's not as much danger. You know, the forward's not in a great position picking up the ball there.
Like, if a good forward gets the ball there, right there, he can turn that way straight over the bar, that way straight over the bar.
Pop a pass.
If he gets it out there, if I'm Conor Delaney, I'm happy to say, up you go there. Because the best you can do is a cross-field switch to
somebody else.
And
that happened quite a few times the other day as well, didn't it? Where Callan had to look up and maybe strike a ball across. And if it works out, it's grand. If it's cut out, the ball's down the far end of the field within 5 seconds.
Let's look at the way that Limerick like to play their ball in. So, ball out from out the field. And if it could be any of Hannon, Burns, Darrow, Donovan, Keane Lynch, it doesn't really matter. And the ball is going to go in. It's going to go in laterally. Well, actually, it doesn't really matter what way it goes in. But the ball is always going to be so that he's collecting it in front of him, either here, this sort of neck of the woods here. He comes out, controls it in front of him, and he's already wheeling this way. And his man is under massive pressure. And he just scoops it over the bar. It seems so simple. Seamus Flanagan did it the other day against Cork as well. He collected the ball around here, just turned, and he had all day to throw it over the bar, because there's nothing but space in front of him because of good movement. Nice ball, sympathetic ball in front of him. And it's just easy peasy compared to what Callan has to do when he gets the ball.
Exactly. And the thing about Galan being, I suppose he is very predominantly left-sided, that they're playing the ball into him and his good side is bringing him back in towards the goals. So, like, he makes it look very, very simple. He pushes the man away, gets a yard, and it's just a little flick over the bar. It's very, very... But the ball coming in, it is all about the ball coming in. You're saying the word sympathetic. Like, when you have a ball, every ball going in should be advantageous to your attack. So it should be, at worst, 70-30 in favour of the attacker. That sort of ball into Callan, while it's possession for him, it's not really positive possession. He has the ball, but he's not in a great position. Mm. Do you know what I mean? And even Conor Delaney actually slipped on one of them the other day. And because of the angle of the run that he's coming in from, he still had time to get back and get a flick.
Do you think it's down to Callan's run and maybe running too early? Or is it down to the ball coming in? If the ball, like, if Callan shows for here, is the ball going to go here? Is he actually showing for it out there?
Usually where you show for the ball is where you get it. It does look like he is starting to run. If the ball has been hit in here, he's starting to run. And when the ball is landing, he's here.
Yeah.
They're hitting the ball, I think, to where he is going.
Far be it from a couple of bad hurlers like us to tell a lad who scored 9 points from playing an All-Ireland final what way to move. But that's what we, the way we see it, the way the different use of the ball between the two of the top forwards in Ireland.
Yeah.
Tommy Walsh was also on talking about what it takes to be an avid supporter in GAA these days.
Your point is, I'm sensing, that it was almost too intense, the league. It didn't allow management the opportunity to properly blood players because there was the threat of relegation hanging over a lot of sides.
Exactly. And if you, I suppose, anyone looking at the Premier League, they will argue, well, how can these guys do it for 34, 35, 36 games in a season? How's he can't do it? But you have to look at the GAA. GAA is unique, right? The same guys that are going to the senior inter-county games of a Sunday, they're going to the club under 14 games. They're going to the club under 21 games. They're going to the hurling, the football. They're immersed, their whole lives are immersed in it, for most people that are involved in the hurling counties. And so you just can't keep it all going. It's not as if they go to work Monday to Friday and possibly a half day Saturday and then everything revolves around the game on Sunday. That doesn't happen. You have training Monday, training Tuesday, maybe a minor game on Wednesday, training again Friday and the match Sunday. So, yeah, I think it definitely has diluted the intensity of it and possibly the competitiveness of it. But it's not all about results. But what I would say, it is about players. And we're after seeing, you know, a lot of young players in this league that are after getting their chances. And it's not just one game. They're getting a good few games on the trot. Like, there's Conor Boylan from Limerick. I'm trying to think lads off my head there now.
Yeah.
Dermot Ryan from Clare. Fantastic players. And, you know, probably wouldn't have got the chance that they're getting if the format was like...
with the debate coming up now. Dahi Boland's after joining us. How are you doing, Dahi?
Shane, how are you? All
not
good.
Not so bad. I'm after seeing a tweet there from John Fogarty, who we had on the Gaelic Football Show yesterday, and he's talking about the stadia capacities for Munster next year. Semple Stadium, 45,690. Gaelic Grounds, 45. Porky Cueve, 45. Lovely field on it as well, of course. Cusack Park, 19,000. Walsh Park, 11,000. So he's saying, like, obviously it's a great boost for Waterford, but...
They're getting the go-ahead in July, I believe, for that, the full development to
up
start.
Up to 15,500. Yeah. So that's something anyway. Dahi, you've joined us to referee the debate this week.
The big debate, here we go. So what we're doing, the debate on today, Lee Chin's best position for Wexford. So we have 1 minute on the clock, Shane. We'll start off with you.
Well, look, I think that Lee Chin has to be in the half-forward line. Or in the forward line, because his ball winners are absolutely key. And it's not like Wexford haven't grown on trees. The last couple of years, their main men haven't actually been standing up. And in the forward line, you need a player like Lee Chin who can stand up. You think of when Wexford beat Kilkenny 120-311. We talked about it earlier in 2017. Who was man of the match? It was Lee Chin. Bulldozing performance. Like, you want a combination of workhorses and threats up in the forward line. If Wexford are operating well together, and they were poor as collectively last year, if they're operating well as a team and you have him soloing up the centre with that ball, who's going to stop him? Think of him bulldozing players over when he's on his top form. You want that guy in the forward line. You want him sparking with Conor McDonald. You want the pace of Limo McGovern around him, Cathal Dunbar. Like, he was ineffective in a couple of games last year. There's no question that, but the whole team was. So I just think you can have him back centre back, but he's going to have to basically learn the position all over again, back from the olden days. And I think it's most effective if you just have him up there winning ball and snapping puck outs like he tends to do.
Right, Michael.
Okay, first things first, I thought we were nominating one position, not one of six, which is the forward line. I think Lee Chin should be centre-back. I think you build the team around your best player. If he is centre-back, he essentially, to me, is their best player. Last year, they didn't get enough out of him. They were moving him from Billy to Jack, so they didn't have any particularly designated area for him. If you put him centre-back, you're guaranteed at least one third of the opposition puckouts come down on top of him, at least. And in the middle, he's going to be around a lot more ball. He can have an awful lot more influence on the game. Shane, you talked about him being able to drive through the middle. There's no reason why he still can't do that from centre back, especially when you have roving wing backs in Paddy Foley and maybe D O'Keefe if he was playing wing back as well. So he can have as much of an impact to me going forward at centre-back as he can at midfield or wing forward, that like that. He can drive through the middle, he can pop balls over. You're just guaranteed by playing him centre-back, you have an anchor in the defence, you keep things an awful lot tighter, they're going to concede very, very little, and they're going to have an awful lot more chance of being competitive in games. I just think he's a natural six. You build your team around the best player.
So there we go. So,
can I just say as well, I'm actually going to be a three-weight world champion if I win today, because I've won the last 2 weeks. So
yeah, no pressure on me there, no.
Dodgy calls as well, though, the last 2 weeks.
So listen to the two of you there. Like, for me, it sort of does depend on the Wexford forward line in terms of who they have for ball winners there. But as Michael was saying, I just think as a defender, naturally, he is more... He is going to dominate games more there, I feel.
Nonsense.
So, Michael...
No.
Thanks very much.
It's as if people are just coming in here judging and driving the boot into me. I mean, you're already going to have an extra player back there as well. So, I mean, you need him up the front because someone to be able to win ball in very, very tough conditions, outnumbered. And he's more likely to do it than the rest of the
guys. Shane, the debate is over. There's been a winner picked.
Has he enough hurling ability for up front, though?
I'm going to get new guests.
There's a reasonable question, yeah.
What?
Is he a natural forward?
Why isn't he? Sure, he's well able to score. He's scored plenty. You don't have... I mean, who's more natural in their forward line than him?
Conor McDonald's a more natural forward. Dunbar is more natural forward.
For the centre forward. Like, who's going to be more impactful at
centre forward? He's a centre forward now. I thought he was one of six positions in the forward line.
Yeah, well, I started off with centre forward. Huh? So you think they have a more natural centre forward than him who can do damage, roam and carry the ball, throw it over from...
I think Aiden Nolan could do an awful lot of damage from centre forward.
Anyway, we'll move on.
Rory O'Connor, possibly centre forward as well.
Rory O'Connor's one of the best forwards in Ireland.
He is, yeah.
Potentially, if he can stay.
You forgot about him just when you're making your debate.
I just didn't mention him at the time. I think this is another. I've been sandbagged once more. Quick little roundup of a few topics then as well. Something I wanted to mention was from Division 2B. Derry are top of Division 2B. They went to Warwickshire and won 218-311 at the weekend. Warwickshire put the game on at noon. which meant that Derry and
they flew over that morning, did they?
Yeah, and I know one or two of the lads. Some of the lads were up at 4 a.m. to go over and play that game against Warwickshire.
That's what you do, though.
Should not be allowed.
You get every advantage you can. It's like when the Garda College used to play in the Fitzgibbon Cup. They'd bring you down to the smallest pitch they could possibly find, regulation size, and all these big brutes that absolutely beat the crap out of you for 50 minutes, and then it was with the gods who would win in the last 10 minutes. Like,
didn't
that's what you do.
Big bring teams up to Ballycastle as well, out of the way.
Yeah. That's what you do.
Let's see what's next. Who's the best player outside the Tenley McCarthy sides?
I suppose Shane Conway at the moment is sticking the hand up
with
there.
UCC, yeah.
That Conway. Was brilliant. It was brilliant him at the weekend. They went UCC went back to Lixnaw and brought the Fitzgibbon Cup back across the border into Kerry, which, well, I'm not going to say it's never happened before. It probably has happened, but it definitely hasn't happened in recent times anyway. Like, he's class. He's so elusive. He's so quick as well. He's a brilliant player.
There are a couple other candidates. Tommy Doyle at Westmead.
Great fullback.
The jogger, yeah. Brilliant player.
Shane Dooley with Tyrone Offaly as well.
Neil McManus.
Tomás McCarthy tweeted in, Offaly keeper Owen Cahill, your club mate. Excellent shot stopper and can send over long range frees as well. So yeah, for sure. Quick note on
there's a couple of other ones as well. He's actually not playing with Wicklow this year, but Andy O'Brien used to always put up savage scores for Wicklow the last 10 years as well. County Andy, they call him. Never a man short of a story. Like I remember one time Waterford played Wicklow in a challenge game, and it was Derek McGrath's first year, and Andy was one of the few players to show up well. And you know, he was asking the manager after, was Derek asking about you know, like this kind of crack. But he would have been putting up serious scores for the guts of 10 years. There's an awful lot of very, very good players operating in the lower divisions as well. John Henderson would be a top class defender at Wicklow as well. Tyrone at the moment, the guy's name escapes me at the moment. He's Dungannon Owen Rua. He's been an all-star the last 4 years. Cassidy, I think, is his second name. Top class forwards. But there's some very, very good players that get little recognition. Zach Moradi's another one with Leitrim as well.
Both some of them Derry players as well, with Schlock Neal, how well they've done the last few years. A few of them players were getting highlighted for how good they actually are.
I think one or two have actually opted for the hurling team over the football team this year as well with Derry. Carlo, no goals after 4 games.
It's mad, isn't it?
Yeah, 65 points on the board, but no goals after 2 games.
That's having played, no goals scored.
Yeah.
Go away.
Yeah,
they didn't score against Waterford. Yeah, awfully to come. Yeah, Jesus.
Mayo and 2A are the only other side that are goalless so far. Quick mention of the Camogie Club finals this weekend. Shlock Neal looking for 3 in a row of club Camogie titles against St Martins, and Galtier against Clonduff as well. For 3 in a row for Shlock Neal would be incredible.
Some going, big time. Some going altogether. They have the experience with the last 2 years, so you'd probably say coming into this they'll be fancying their chances.
It'd be hard bet. It's funny actually, after Shlock Neal won the first one, Tina Hannan, who used to play with Offaly, but she's engaged to Patsy Bradley, and so she lives up in Shlock Neal. So she joined them the year after they won the All-Ireland and was basically their player of the year last year. So after winning All-Ireland, they got basically one of the best players in the country onto their club team, which is massive, and she's obviously playing a big role again. But yeah, 3 in a row, I know you were chatting a couple of the girls, like, they're not exactly talking about it, but it's hard not to talk about it. It's a massive deal. Like no hurling or football team has done 3 in a row, as far as I'm aware.
St Lachtans did it 0-4-0.
Sorry, in hurling or football, that Lachtans have done it in Camogie. Because you're basically taking no break, and obviously you were going for 3 in a row last year as well. It's so hard to keep the wheels going there with injuries and everything, with basically no break throughout a 36-month period.
Shlock Neal's manager, Damien McIldowney, was actually due to have a baby the exact same day, but the baby came early.
He actually wasn't having the baby, obviously, of course.
Well, unless it's a junior Arnold Schwarzenegger scenario. A lot of our younger viewers won't have a clue what I'm talking about, but that's a movie that came out in the early 90s. St Martin's managed by JJ Doyle, who obviously did the 3 in a row with Wexford's senior team and also the Camogie team.
Involved with Davy as well, of course.
The Leinster under 21 team as well, so good experience on the sideline there.
And Wexford Camogie is not in a good place. The county team is not in a good place at the moment, but the Wexford Camogie club scene is outrageously strong, with Glenbarrentown, Owlert and Martins, and probably another couple of clubs there as well, very, very strong.
Yeah, St Martins actually stopped Thomastown winning a 3 in a row in Leinster Club Camogie as well, so they're good at stopping 3 in a row. Then Galtier, who are from Waterford, against Clonduff. Paul Gribben would be one of the main players for Clonduff there as well. With Galtier.
Ross Carr's daughter is playing as well for them as well, as far as I'm aware, yeah. Mm. So yeah, there's lots of good stories, and it's great, like, without being smart, it's great that it's publicised as much as it is this past week, like, because it's All-Ireland club finals, and you know, Shane, they don't get much bigger than that for a club player. That's that is literally the mecca.
Especially after the club finals weren't in Croke Park last year due to the bad weather. It's nice to have them back. Just with Galtier as well, they beat De La Salle, who would be Derek McGrath's club, in the county final. And then Derek McGrath went along and did a training session to give them inspiration speech. Claire Dunn, who's one of the Galtier players, was telling me, I did an interview with her last week, that even she works with Derek McGrath in De La Salle College, but she didn't get him involved in doing the training session. But yeah, she said it was a fantastic session. One final point then. The under 21 clubs this year, you have to be 17 on January 1st to play under 21 this year. What do you make of that?
I think it's bizarre, to be honest with you. For lower clubs, they're just really going to struggle. Like, we won an under 21, I was only a chap. We had an all under 17 full back line. And one of the guys' cornerback was under 16, so he wouldn't have been eligible to play. And the way it is in TIP, obviously, the TIP Championship has started. So I was saying to you off air, Shane, that one of those TIP clubs could win a championship and a guy could have played in the first couple of games and not get a medal, which is just mad, like. Mm.
Jamie Wall had a tweet about this as well. Jamie Wall, who's the Mary Eye manager. How does it keep up with the GAA news like that? Under-17s not being allowed to play under-21. No joke, when I took our club under-21s in 2015, we started six under-17s. Six. I presume these lads making these decisions haven't been involved in club GAA, possibly ever. Well done at official GAA.
The thing about that is, as well, when you get to 21, a lot of guys are starting to drop out maybe at 20 or 21. So a lot of the time, it's the younger lads that are actually driving the thing. Mm. And lads that are, like, still in school, fifth year, sixth year in school. So a lot of the time, as Jamie says, it would be five or six guys at that age, and they're massively important. I also love the way at Jamie would know any chance to make a Simpsons reference or anything like that in anything he'd take in a pair of stones.
But it's great experience for them as well, just to get into that sort of senior setup for the first time, like 16-year-olds, and now potentially not getting the chance to do it. Yeah.
It really hurts the rural clubs, that it really does.
Under 21 is such a time for a drop-off as well, because, like, in a lot of counties, it starts in November or December, and it's such an afterthought. How many players drop away just because of the scheduling and little more than that?
Yeah, and as well as that as well, like, now, like, if you're under 17, if you're under 18, shall we say, you're leaving under 17 grade, you're going straight into senior. Like, that's a big gap for lads as well. You're going in, I see it in my own club, you're going in, you're only maybe fifth year or sixth year in school again, and you're going in among senior players. It's a big step up again. So, like, the 21 is such a massively important grade, and it just seems to keep getting degraded the whole time, from what I can see.
OK, well, that's it for the Hurling Show this week. My thanks to Dahi and to Michael Verney of the Irish Independent as well. We'll be back next week at Thursday at 3 o'clock. If you want anything debated, send us in your suggestions. We're happy to look at those. The Gaelic Football Show is back next Wednesday at 12:30 as well. You can get us on YouTube, Twitter, offtheball.com, and we'll see you all again next week. GAA on Off The Ball.